We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
Hi, I'm Kurt Angle.
I represented the United States in the Olympics in 1996 and won a gold medal. Then I parlayed that into a pro wrestling career. I saw a commercial a few years ago.
Tunnel to Towers Foundation made a promise.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is paying off the mortgages for Gold Star families with young children. I thought, this is really cool. I want to be a part of it. My dad served in the Army for 30 years. We didn't have a lot of money, but he made sure we had what we needed. He set a great example for all of us. But he died in a construction accident my freshman year in high school. When he died, we didn't have any income coming in, and we ended up being forced to move out of our house. I was devastated. So I understand what these families are going through, and to have an organization like Tunnel to Towers come in and pick you up and carry you and give you a home to live in, I think that's just amazing. I'd like to ask you to donate $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program, coming to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at the South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard, and of course, the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. This is Friday. We're heading into the weekend, and then you know what happens next week. It's going to be a holiday, that's for sure. And we'll be, of course, taking our usual Monday and Tuesday off. And then, of course, we'll be off Christmas Wednesday. And then we'll be back ready to go for Santa Anita's opening. They say the gift that the race players open the day after Christmas at Santa Anita, day after Christmas, the opening day there. We welcome all of our listeners here in Las Vegas, listening on our anchor radio station, Race Day Las Vegas' radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM, where you'll be listening to the Ram games this weekend as well. They are the official Rams play-by-play outlet here in Las Vegas. And, of course, the Race Day Las Vegas anchor station, Sports Talk 1400 AM. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting, we're there as well. And, of course, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, and Google phones. Got you covered with the apps, the Race Day apps, course, if you get listen, if you get the KSHP app, you'll be able to listen through the radio station, and of course, the YouTube app, you can get you'll listen and hear us and see us on the YouTube network. Just put them on your devices, and you'll be all set and ready to go. Anyhow, welcome to the Race Day Show for this weekend, and of course, starting the weekend, we got believe it or not, even though we have are in like a waiting period with the you know, the sabbatical between the Southern California racing at Los Alamitos and the start of Santa Anita the day after Christmas. We also have no racing in New York. That'll happen a couple of days after Christmas when they resume racing at Aqueduct. But there is some fantastic racing going on this weekend at the fairgrounds. There'll be eight stakes races tomorrow at the fairgrounds that include the Gun Runner, which is a race that holds 10 points in the Kentucky Derby leaderboard. These are two-year-olds, but of course, you know, after the first of the year, there'll be three-year-olds. It'll be the last Derby point-getting race this year before they turn three-year-olds, and that race is one of the highlights on the eight stakes races at the fairgrounds. And, of course, Gulfstream Park. Both our handicappers, Jonathan Hardoon and John Lindo, say that Saturday's race day card, tomorrow's card at Gulfstream is a beauty, and it will have five stakes races, one grade two, two grade threes, and others. Laurel Park's going to kick in with four stakes races. Oakland Park will have, of course, theirs as well. And so we got some exciting stuff going on this weekend for horse racing. Handicappers yesterday, Rich Ang was the man. Rich Ang gave us a winner at the fairgrounds yesterday at in the seventh race there, Silk. That was Jonathan Hardoon's horse. Jonathan Hardoon gave us a horse at the fairgrounds. That was Silk. Now, in this race, there was a 2-5 favorite. And it wasn't Silk. And Silk won the race, paying $9.60 for Brad Cox. So congratulations, Jonathan. Not only did you give us a 7-2 winner, but you knocked out that filthy favorite, which I always love to do. And then at Gulfstream Park, Rich Ang came with the ninth and final race there in Strand of Gold with Irad Ortiz Jr. He was limited yesterday, Irad. He only had three winners yesterday. But that was his third winner of the day, paying $7 even there at Gulfstream. And, of course, Richie came with that NFL winner, the Los Angeles Chargers beating the Denver Broncos. And all I got to say is it was a tale of two games. One game in the first half, one game in the second half. I know that my in-studio guest feels the same way. Let's welcome John Lindo. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Yeah, watching that game.
Was it crazy?
How did Denver lose after that first half?
They couldn't stop them.
No, unbelievable.
I mean, I don't know what with the coach said at halftime. But all I got to say is you got to patent that speech because they came out ready for ready for bear and they went hunting.
Major adjustments at halftime. Wow. Unbelievable.
Anyhow, that was a nice win there. Of course, today we have the first in the series of playoff games for the college football championship tonight at 5:00 here in Las Vegas. We got Notre Dame facing Indiana. I can't wait to see what Richie has to say about that. It's going to be bad weather in Indiana, though, where Notre Dame is, as well as Indiana. But it's going to be I saw some scenes out there this morning. It's snowing like crazy in that area. So we'll wait and see how these guys do on that surface because they're playing at Notre Dame. And, of course, they're an outdoor arena.
Well, they're both cold weather teams. So that should be, you know, that's part of the fun of this, though, too. I mean, three of the four games are in cold weather. Penn State's going to be cold and Ohio State's going to be cold. So it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, as far as the weather is concerned today, all of the snow and bad weather is in the Great Lakes area, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, et cetera. But Jonathan Hardoon tells us that that snow is coming there in New York as well. But then you don't have to worry about it because Aqueduct is not running. As far as where the big racing is around the country in the south, it should be great racing weather today at the fairgrounds and at Gulfstream Park as well. Southern California is beautiful, but they're doing nothing but betting through simulcasting because there's no live racing there right now. John, got to tell you, with the close of Pleasanton, I guess now the Northern California trainers, Northern California horsemen are really kind of re-huddling to find out what's going on. And I understand the California Horse Racing Board, the board's going to try to help them to see if they can salvage something up there.
Right. I think there's about 800 horses up there. You know, we've already lost one really good horseman. Trainer Steve Speck retired after the races on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Terrific horseman. So he'll disperse some of his horses, the ones that'll fit in Southern California, he'll give to other guys. The other ones will go to Arizona or they'll sell them. And a lot of guys have to make those decisions now, whether they go to Arizona with a lot of those horses that don't fit in Southern California, go to maybe wait for Emerald Downs come in the spring. Or, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I know some of the guys have already applied for limited stall space at Santa Anita. They can train right now in Pleasanton and ship down to race in Southern California. But you have to be competitive, too. So we'll see how long this lasts. It's an experiment. We enter today for the second day of the meet on Friday next week, a week from today. And on the extras, there's a couple of extra races that they put on for the Bay Meadow, or Golden Gate horses, excuse me. Mm-hmm. There's a maiden 8,000 claimer, which we haven't run in Santa Anita before. Yeah. And there's a $5,000 claimer. So they want to get some of those lower level horses down here. And we'll see how this plays out. I have no idea how it's going to work.
Well, and some of those horses, I think, might venture over to Arizona into Turf Paradise, although that's a questionable because they're in little periods of, extensions going on there.
Right.
But there's a need for racing at that level somewhere within the southern sector between California here and Nevada. Of course, we don't have any live racing, but Arizona, California, et cetera. And like you said, and up in Emerald Downs, you got to kind of make some sort of a circuit work there. But I know a lot of the trainers that were training up in Northern California have already dispersed horses and have exited there.
Yeah, and, I know, I think Samuel Calvario, I think he had 52 horses up there. Mm-hmm. He actually flew down to Texas this week to check out Sam Houston and to Delta Downs in Louisiana to see where he might go, because he says he doesn't have, of those 52, a small percentage are going to fit in Southern California, so he's probably got to split his barn. And I think you're going to see a lot of that from the Northern California horsemen. I don't know. I see William Anton Georgie's named on a horse riding at Santa Anita opening day.
Oh.
So he'll be coming down. We'll see what jockeys go where. So, you know, it came up so fast, Ralph. This is all in flux, and we'll kind of sort it out as we go along.
Yeah, so it's like they scattered as soon as the racing was over there. But hopefully... we'll keep track of that, and we wish them well, that's for sure. A big stallion passed away. Uncle Mo, the legendary Uncle Mo, died at 16 years old. He had a leg injury. They did an operation, but they had to euthanize him because he wasn't responding. That really put Rapoli on the map as far as people knowing who he was and how deep he was into horse racing. Mike Rapoli's first grade one was Uncle Mo, and he had a very distinct impression, and certainly in breeding.
Absolutely. He stamped, first of all, he was the two-year-old champion. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And the week of the Kentucky Derby, he had to be scratched. He did come back from that and won a couple races after that. But he really made his mark at stud. He was a very good stallion. One horse that people will recognize right away is Nyquist, who not only won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but he came back to win the Kentucky Derby. He's a very successful stallion. From the West Coast, you had a mare, Adari Manor, who just was retired. You have Mo Donegal. There's just been a number of good horses, dirt, turf, short, long. He was a terrific stallion. 16's very young. It's a real blow to the breeding industry. This is a good horse.
Yes, but his lineage goes on with his other offspring becoming a good foundation stallions, like you said, in Nyquist.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, listen, folks out there, we have a chance of making money today because Turfway Park left money on the table last night. The late pick five has a carryover today at Turfway of $138,972. It starts in the fifth race at Turfway this evening. That goes about 5 minutes to 5 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're looking for a little pot to get into, that might be at the late pick five at Turfway Park. All right, we got John Lindo obviously on set with us. Jonathan Ardoon is waiting to jump in and have a conversation with us. Rich Eng will be, of course, by again. We'll see if Jerry Jakowicz wants to talk a little bit more about how to play the races. And, of course, we got your racing menu yet to go. So without any further ado, we'll get to our first break. And when we come back, we're off to the races. Don't go away on this Friday show. And don't forget to join us on the chat room here at the Race Day segment, the Race Day position on the YouTube. If you go to YouTube, it's South Point Studios, get to that page, hit race day, get to that page, hit submit, subscribe. Subscribe if you haven't subscribed already, it's free, and then you can start chatting away on our chat box. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas, I want to remind everybody that the racing menu is starting to pare down now. Woodbine Racetrack, that had a long meet throughout the spring and all through the summer and fall, did conclude their long race meet of 127 days over the weekend. And the leading jockey there was Sahin Savici. Sahin Savici won 170 races at the meet. And his win clip was 26%. That's a nice percentage,
John. That works, yes.
Yeah. And Mark Cassie, leading trainer there, for the 16th time. He got the 16th title there at Woodbine. Cassie had 108 wins and got the title there. So congratulations to all of them. Like I said, the weather concentrating, the bad weather is all up in the Great Lakes area there. And as far as temperatures are concerned, well, I can tell you right now, outside here in Las Vegas, when we got here, it was 45 degrees. We're going to get up to 68 degrees. It's going to be kind of nice over the weekend. That's the fluctuation between mid-40s overnight, low 40s, and then the mid to high 60s in the afternoon with plenty of sunshine.
So it's gorgeous out here, Ralph. I can't wait. And, it's still fast and firm in the race book.
Yes, it is. Always fast and firm. 74 degrees down there in L.A., though, and 81 degrees in Miami. New York's going to be 40 degrees with rain and mix of snow. And Detroit, 35, Chicago, 36. So you get the idea. All right, here's the menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook. Simulcast centers racetracks around the country. And we remind you always that the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at in the Pacific time zone. If you're not in it, adjust to it. I don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here we go. Gulfstream Park starts off the menu. First post time is 9:20 this morning. 10 races today at Gulfstream. Gulfstream Park has 10 races today. Their Pick 6 jackpot carryover, remember, they had the mandatory payoff over the weekend, so they're just starting to build it up now. The Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $15,412. Again, first race at Gulfstream is at 9:20. Laurel Park is next. Laurel Park has 9 races. Their Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $6,880. First post time at Laurel for 9 races, 9:25. Tampa Bay Downs has 9 races, and Tampa Bay has a Pick 6 jackpot carryover, $30,290. Their first post time for 9 races set it also at 9:25. Oak Lawn Park, back in business today, 10 races. First post time is at 10:30 at Oak Lawn today. Then we have the Fairgrounds in Nolens, 8 races at the Fairgrounds. They got a regular Pick 6 carryover, not a jackpot, a regular Pick 6 carryover, $5,228. Their first post time for 8 races at the Fairgrounds set at 10:45. Delta Downs has 10 races, mostly full fields. First post time is 2:50. Turfway Park with that late pick 5 carryover again. Turfway Park, late pick 5 carryover, $138,972. It's the last 5 races on the card. With 9 races today, the late pick 5 will start in the 5th race. Their first post time is at 2:55. Penn National has 8 races. Penn National has a super high 5 jackpot carryover of $2,299. And their first post time is at 3:15. And that is the racing menu for today. Now we'll go to Jonathan Hardoon standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Morning, Ralph. You made one little mistake. It wasn't a mandatory payout at Gulfstream. Actually, one person hit it on Sunday all by his lonesome and took down the whole pool.
It was mandatory for him. And by the way, and excuse me, you are right. And he's got a multitude of best buddies now that are calling him up.
Just in time for Christmas shopping, I guess.
All right. Well, Jonathan, you know, they've got a lot of big stakes races tomorrow at Fairgrounds, 8 stakes races. We're going to go over the Gulfstream stake races tomorrow at Gulfstream on that day. But just taking a quick look at some of the races there at the Fairgrounds, the most important one, I guess, is the Gunrunner for 2-year-olds. And how do you see that race coming about?
That's the 7th race. We discussed it yesterday. It looked like a 2-horse race to me, Ralph. Magnitude, who's already been the distance, and Admiral Dennis. Well, Magnitude's been around 2 turns. Admiral Dennis ran a mile last time out. Only in his second start, he ran very well. The Cox Barn is very high on him. Looks like a 2-horse race to me. Number 3, Magnitude. Number 5, Admiral Dennis.
All right. And that, of course, is the... is the Gunrunner with the Kentucky Derby points. The highest, they're all $100,000 stakes races, though, all across the board there. That's for sure. I want to bring in John Lundell here for just a moment before I get to your picks. Oh, by the way, any of the conversation that you want to chip in on that you heard?
Me? No. I heard everything. It was all good. I think
all good.
That...
Oh, okay.
They should try to implement the Ralph Sirocco idea of having 2 days a week in Southern California run with Northern California horses, whether it be Wednesday or Thursday. Ship those horses down here. Give them an opportunity to run. If not at Santa Anita, at least let them run in the day at Los Al. You had that idea months ago, Ralph, and I think it's a good idea.
Well, it utilizes, first of all, you're trying to, you know, save money, and it utilizes one facility for 2 racing-type circuits. And you can, you know, everything is, this, you just drop it in half. But the thing that I would also do is that parking lot in the back, John, is always empty now. They ought to put more additional stables there and get all those horses stabled in Northern California to come down in Southern California so they can train on that track, too, and just have, like, a Golden Gate, Bay Meadows, Northern California, Wednesday and Thursday, their meet there, just the 2 days. And then the regular Santa Anita type of meet on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And should any of the horses racing on Wednesday and Thursday get so good that they're right there that they can get into the Santa Anita races and build up the field sizes for them?
You graduate and go to the major leagues. Yeah. I think it's a great idea, Ralph. I really do.
Well, The caveat to that, Ralph, there is room in the stalls at Santa Anita, at San Luis Rey, and at Los Alamitos to take those horses. Unfortunately, we're not full, so there is room for those horses. The problem that if you train them down here, the day rates go sky high for those horsemen. The workman's comp is higher, and all the associated fees to train in Southern California are higher than in Northern California, even though it's the same state. So now, all of a sudden, now you've got to charge more money to those owners. You're running for smaller purses in the cheaper races. It's a tough economic model to make work.
Well, maybe they could, good old California, subsidizing every known
everything else.
Thing. And, you know, I mean, if you're homeless, you get more money than a guy on unemployment. Just subsidize them a little, I guess.
You make that call because I'm sure the phone has rang a few times, but I don't think anybody's answering.
I'll place a call to Gavin, okay?
Yeah, go ahead. Tell him I said hi.
All right. Anyhow, I think that they should try to get over that and see if they can to make the stuff work for everybody. It's good stuff. All right. Listen, we got those 8 races at Fairgrounds tomorrow. We'll just leave it at that. But what I wanted to do was take a look. They all drew all the entries for opening day stakes races at Santa Anita. And what I want to do real quick is just go over the Malibu Stakes, because that seems to be the one that's gaining all the attraction. It's at 7 furlongs. It's a grade 1 on the dirt for $300,000 strictly for 3-year-olds. And you got the Kentucky Derby winner there, Mystic Dan, and you got the Santa Anita Derby winner there, Stronghold. And there's a field of 8 in that race. And lo and behold, as they drew the entries, they will be breaking side by side in the race. Mystic Dan gets post 6. Stronghold gets post 7. You also have Ben Tornado, who breaks the from the rail. Pilot Command is the 2-horse. Winterfell is 3. Number 4 is Senior Officer. The 5 is Imagination. Mystic Dan is 6. Stronghold is 7. And Raging Torrent is 8. And I know, you know, Jonathan, you can hold on a second. John, do you have a thought about that race at all?
Well, excuse me, Ben Tornado drew the rail. He ran second in the Breeders' Cup Sprint, so obviously he's got speed. But that's a tough draw for him just because Pilot Commander, one of the three Bob Baffert horses, is drawn right next to him and has the same style. Mm-hmm. Winterfell comes back from the East Coast, is back in the Bob Baffert stable. We can ask John Harnoon about Senior Officer, who had a really tough trip last time and is out here for Brad Cox. You know, Mystic Jan drew a good post six, but I don't really know if he's a 7 furlong horse. And we talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't fly out here. He had the van out here. So he went from, New Orleans to New Mexico to California in 2 days. That's 2 days of mistraining and everything else that goes on. The horse to me that won the draw anyways was Raging Torrent, who was buried on the rail in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. He'll be better at 7 furlongs than he was at six, and he draws the outside in the Malibu.
Jonathan, I don't know if you took a look at those races yet, so it would be unfair to ask you to really get into it, but we do have a question about the...
Senior Officer, I thought this horse ran super last time. He's a very lightly raced horse for Brad Cox, John, and he wouldn't be out here for a free sandwich. He's coming out here for a reason.
No, and Cox doesn't ship unless he really thinks he has a legitimate shot. And you're right about Mystic Dan. 19 hours to get to Southern California for a Kentucky Derby winner? They couldn't do any better than that? That's crazy, no?
Well, we were talking about it yesterday, John, and you know, everything is flown FedEx now because of the horse flight business. Tech Sutton is out of business right now, no planes. And during this time of year with Christmas season, FedEx won't ship the horses because they're busy shipping Christmas packages.
So yeah, but you would have thought that McPeak may have sent him out a little early. I'm surprised, honestly, to tell you the truth. It just seems like a big trip for a horse. Not only that, the last time he won was the Derby. He never showed up at the Belmont. The Preakness, I guess he ran second. It was an 8-horse field that day. You know, I'm not sold on Mystic Dan. I don't know who they're going to make the favorite, I don't think Mystic Dan is the right horse in this spot. I agree with you about Raging Torrent. I liked him in the Breeders' Cup, and you were right that day. The rail was not for him, and 6 furlongs was not what he wants. He did win the draw, and he may just be the one that works out a perfect trip in here because you know the one has one way to go, and that's full steam ahead, and the same thing for Pilot Commander. So they're going to be cooking. They're going to get legitimate fractions to run into, and that may help Raging Torrent.
And don't forget, when we were talking about Mystic Dan winning the Kentucky Derby, it was a 3-horse photo finish in that race. He came up the rail, and he was the one that was not impeded in the stretch run there, too. And, you know,
Sierra Leone and Forever Young won at it pretty good for a 16th of a mile playing bumper cars and roller derby, if you recall. And, you know, he got a great trip, Mystic Dan, under Hernandez, and take nothing away from him. He was the best horse. Well, he won that day. I don't know if he was the best horse in the race, but he got the job done.
He got the best trip. I could say this. I could say this. Stronghold, remember, he won the Santa Anita Derby. I thought that the Santa Anita Derby, he won that by kind of almost default. And then he didn't run well in the Kentucky Derby. And I think he had to go to New Mexico or something to run there, and he didn't run well there, did he?
No. You know, what he's done, excuse me, in the route race, he's kind of ranged up and loomed a thread at the top of the lane and flattened out.
Kind of hung.
7 furlongs might be a good distance for this horse. I like him better than Mystic Dan cutting back at this distance.
Yeah, I'm betting against Mystic Dan, and I got to tell you, I think I'm going to bet against Stronghold, too. But I could, you know, I've been wrong before.
No.
And really? In any case, what do you think I got you guys for? In any case, we will go more into it, obviously, on the day after Christmas.
Tomorrow.
On the race. No, not tomorrow. Well, maybe.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, day after Christmas. This don't start. These races aren't until after Christmas. All right. Jonathan, nice winter yesterday, but, you know, we've got Christmas presents to buy. So what's the deal today?
Yes, we do. Let's look at the 9th race today at Gulfstream, 1.70 on Tapita. And the number 7 horse in here, Winooski, a 4-year-old gelding from the Catherine Davy Barn, Edgar Zayas aboard to ride. He's listed at 8-1 on the morning line. Decided to try synthetic 2 starts back, and his last 2 races on synthetic, both of them very good races. He's listed at 8-1 on the morning line. I like number 7, Winooski, to upset and win today's 9th race out at Gulfstream.
You know, when you started naming that horse, I was thinking about that State Farm commercial where Mahomes and the coach get together and he goes, Baluski or whatever that was.
Bundaluski.
This sounds like that Bundaluski. So we get the Winooski here going. So we got our Winooski going in this race. In the ninth race, number seven, Winooski. Edgar Zia is aboard. 8-1 on the morning line. That's what I like to hear. Ninth race at Gulfstream, you like the seven. And I know you probably have a pick somewhere else.
Yeah, we have Oaklawn Park, race number seven, 1/16 on the main track. Number four, Indy Label, an improving three-year-old filly from the Matt Shear barn. This trainer does a terrific job. Emmanuel Esquivel aboard to ride, 8-1 on the morning line. I like number four, Indy Label, to upset and win today's seventh out at Oaklawn.
All right, now we got the mojo going with the 8-1 shots here. Seventh race, number four, Indy Label. The four, Indy Label, in the seventh at Oaklawn. I'll bet you I can squeeze one out of you for Fairgrounds.
Yeah, seventh race today, and this is turf only, and the weather's supposed to be okay. Number six, Legitimate Target, a four-year-old gelding from the Jonathan Wong barn. And Wong is off to a good start there. He had a couple of winners and five starts. Mitchell Mural aboard to ride. This is a pick five, pick four, pick three single. Number six, Legitimate Target, 3-1 on the morning line, wins today's seventh race out at Fairgrounds.
Let's hope he is a legitimate target for everybody else in the field, and they can't get him. So in the seventh race, the sixth Legitimate Target, another eight, a 3-1, is that right?
3-1.
Sixth Legitimate Target, the sixth horse in the seventh race at Fairgrounds, is Jonathan's play. So he gave us a play at each and every one of the three racetracks that he has full sheets at, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, and, of course, Oaklawn Park.
Thank you, Ralph. See you, John. Stay safe and be well, guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You got it. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. And we will be right back with Rich Eng standing by after that crazy NFL game last night. Don't go away.
Here we are in Houston, opening up our first veteran village, this beautiful building that's going to house 161 homeless veterans. Any veteran that risked their lives and they're struggling with PTSD, mental illness, addiction. We're also building what I call comfort homes, 500 square foot homes. These are for older homeless veterans, so they have their own space and give them back some of their dignity, some of their independence, and most certainly give them back their life. Go to T2T.org to learn how you can change a veteran's life forever.
No service member who has put on a uniform and served our nation should be without a home and the services they need. I'm Dave Portnoy, and I'm asking for your help. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation promises to eradicate veteran homelessness across the country so that no service member who has served our nation will be without a home and the services they need. That's why I'm asking you to contribute $11 a month to support these efforts by going to T2T.org or calling 1-844-BRAVEST.
If you're celebrating a special occasion or just love fine dining, you're in the right place. Come experience the crown jewel of South Point restaurants, Michael's Gourmet Room.
Welcome.
With over 600 different types of wines and magnificent dishes prepared tableside, you'll revel in the rich classic Vegas decor and the best black tie service in the world. This intimate gourmet room has earned accolades galore. Come to Michael's Gourmet Room for an unforgettable dining experience. Another famous restaurant is the Silverado Steakhouse, where you'll find the charm and service that discerning patrons require. From top quality steaks and chops to fresh seafood and desserts, you'll love the award-winning wine list and menu at Silverado Steakhouse. Steak lovers have even more options with primarily prime rib. Catering to hearty appetites, the menu features a variety of flavorful prime rib cuts, dry aged to ensure tenderness, and then seasoned and slowly roasted. Although prime rib is our specialty, it's not the only thing on the menu. There's something for everyone.
Out to Rich Eng standing by. Richie, good morning. Good morning, Rich.
You know what, Ralphie? I'm having trouble. I can't hear anyone.
Oh, okay. I can't hear anybody. Is that on our end or his end, maybe? Okay. Hold on right there, Richie. All right. Okay, we're going to go. We're going to try to fix that for you, Rich. In the meantime, John, we were talking about the races at Santa Anita, and I know that the Malibu is like the top race there, but we've got some great stakes races at Santa Anita, including, and you know that we love to say this, the Lafitte Pink Eye Junior Stakes, which used to be the San Antonio.
It used to be San Antonio, and the best part is Lafitte will be there to hand out the trophy. He's actually doing a poster signing session at Santa Anita before the races that day. I'm so glad they're honoring him while he's still here to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's quoted saying, it means a lot to me. And so they got this one right, and Santa Anita should be congratulated for that. I'm looking forward to seeing him opening day.
Not even a question about that. While we wait to reconnect with Richie, why don't we get your selections today? The Lindo Report is covering Gulfstream Park today, John?
Got Gulfstream Park going today, yes.
Okay, so the Lindo Report picks in every one of the races, a suggested late pick four, and all the goody information. Lindo Report for today at Gulfstream Park is available only in one place, and that's right here at the South Point in the race book. It's free of charge exclusively there. The Lindo Report for today. All right, John, well, let's get a pick.
I'll go down to the 10th and final. Maybe we can hook up a daily double with John Hardoon. In the 10th race today, I like number 3, Random Harvest, who was scratched out of the Tropical Park Oaks last weekend at Gulfstream Park. Mm-hmm. Stays at the second allowance condition now, undefeated, gets to race with Lasix like she has for her first two starts. She's got the most upside in this field. From post number 3, she falls into a good stocking trip in here. I think she'll win right back with Johnny Velasquez. So number 3, Random Harvest, 5-1 on the morning line, race number 10 at Gulfstream Park.
And as you said yesterday, it was really a lot of favorites. What, 5 favorites won? I think the horse that got disqualified was also a favorite.
It was, yeah, it would have been 6 favorites, and I think the others were all second choices except for one.
Yeah.
So besides, I think there was one horse that paid more than $7 at Gulfstream yesterday.
And, you know, when you got Irad Ortiz riding down there against those guys, I mean, he's winning them by bunches. Yesterday, it was a slow day for him. He only won 3. But it is the championship meet down there, and they'll get going right after the holiday.
Yeah, it starts picking up a little bit here after the holiday. The quality of the races improves on Saturday, mm-hmm. and it'll get better as we get closer to the Pegasus World Cup. Right.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, so I'll make a Sirocco Daily Double then. I'll do a Sirocco Play Daily Double, 9th race at Gulfstream. You already heard Jonathan Hardoon say number 7, Minooski. And now John Lindo gives us the second half of the late double, the 10th race, number 3, Random Harvest. So the late double, you go to the window and you say, 9th race, please, late to daily double, number 7 and 3, and you'll get the late double going there. Okay. We're going to go to, I guess we'll take another break and see if we can get Richie on board while we're still working with the technical stuff. And then when we come back, hopefully we'll have Richie and maybe even Jerry Jackowitz to come with us. And I'll tell you one thing right now. Richie did send us his selections, so if we can't get him personally, we'll make sure you get his selections anyhow. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas' top destinations for live entertainment?
Enjoy live performances by classic
Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grandview Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grandview Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grandview Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, we're back. And now we're going to go out to Rich Eng, standing by now. We've gotten the Grinch out of our signal, and now we got Richie with us. So, Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, John Lindo. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, we know, Richie, that you got your bet on the Chargers over for the season. You'll put that in a little safety box until the end of the season and cash that. But I can honestly tell you, this had to be a game so demonstrative of two games in one. One half was totally different from the last half. And all I can say is, with whatever that coach said, he's got to patent that at halftime. The halftime speech must have been something.
Well, for the Chargers, this was the reverse
from Harbaugh. His pep talk at halftime in the locker room must have been really something, because they came out an entirely different team in the second half.
Yeah, what I was going to say, Ralph, was this game was the complete opposite of last week's game against Tampa Bay, where the Chargers led 17-10 at the half, and in the second half they got outscored 30-0. This game was the reverse. Denver was just running up and down the field, and then a key play, Ralph, was that free kick field goal at the end of the half. How many coaches would have been able to figure that out, that on the fair catch and then the penalty of 15 yards moved the ball into the cusp of field goal position? Harbaugh, has that rule where the you get the free kick off a fair catch, and the kid drills a 57 yard. That kick, if you saw the camera work, that kick was good another 6 or 7 yards easily past the crossbar. So I think that really changed the tenor of the game.
Well, I know one thing. That defense for the Chargers looked lackluster throughout the first half. But, boy, they came out with smoke coming out of their nostrils for the second half.
Yeah, the defense, they had a terrible second half against Tampa. They had a terrible first half against Denver. But, they really battened down the hatches. The thing about Denver is both teams have really exceeded expectations. Sean Payton has a rookie quarterback, Bo Nix, who was, drafted down later in the first round.
Yeah.
But he's really protected him and given him a chance to succeed without exposing him, so to speak, with, a lot of questionable play calls and passes. The first half it worked. The second half it didn't. When they needed Bo Nix to win the game, it was just a little too much for him. But that's a good Denver team. They're going to be in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, I would imagine that. I think that maybe the Chargers needed this win a little bit more than Denver, didn't they, John?
Yeah, they did. After but they lost with three of their last four.
Yeah.
So this kind of puts them back in a pretty solid spot for the playoffs now. So, we'll see where it goes. But that's a pretty tough division with Kansas City, Denver, and the Chargers.
Yeah, it is. No doubt about it. And the Raiders, that's the one team they don't have to worry about.
Well, they're playing for a draft pick at this point.
Yes, they are. That's for sure.
Right. Hey, John, also the Chargers, the last two games are against the Patriots and the Raiders. Right. They're going to be heavily favored in both, so they could tack on two more wins.
Now we turn to the college football playoff, the first year of 12 teams in it. Tonight, Notre Dame will host Indiana, two teams that are in the first round. They'll be playing in Notre Dame. The weather's supposed to be snowing and cold, et cetera, but both teams are cold weather teams anyhow. How do you see this first game of the new playoff, situation?
Well, in all honesty, I can't wait, Ralph. The playoffs were four teams, and now it's up to 12, and probably soon enough it'll be 16 for the college football championship. This is game 211, 212. I really like Notre Dame. I love to make future book bets in sports out of the college football playoff, 12 teams. Notre Dame is the only team that I bet. I bet them at 10-1 to win the national championship. I missed the 12 by a couple of hours, but I got them at 10. I think that's still a square value. Notre Dame, Ralph, to me, is the most complete team out of the 12. They have a great running attack. The quarterback is okay, Riley Leonard. He's not a superstar, but he's a good game manager. They throw just enough to kind of possess the football. The defense for Notre Dame is very strong, and I really think this is a tough spot for Indiana. One thing about Indiana, their strength of schedule is one of the weakest of the 12 teams. In the Big Ten, somehow they avoided having to play Oregon. They avoided having to play Penn State. Mm-hmm. The one tough game they had was against Ohio State, and they got blown away in Columbus, Ohio. by the Buckeyes, but I think this is a tough spot for Indiana. I think Notre Dame's just too physical for them. We'll take Notre Dame minus the 7, Ralph, tonight.
Yeah, all I can say is, being a Notre Dame fan, our entire year was totally deflated in that first game they played that they lost to, you know, somebody they should have never lost to. But they bounced back, and week by week by week by week, they kept, you know, moving up the ladder again. And now, yeah, I think they're a very complete team, John.
One question I have for you, Richie, is the handicapping factor now in the college playoffs is the transfer portal. And are either of these teams losing any significant players to the portal, or are they sticking around? What do you know?
Not that I have heard of. The college football playoff, the 12 playoff teams, for the most part, are in pretty good shape. I will give a caveat out there for games coming up next week. The one team that got decimated out of the 12 by the portal is Arizona State. They have at least 12 kids that are going to opt out and are in the transfer portal. So this is not going to be the same Arizona State team that you saw in the regular season. They're kind of behind the eight ball, John, but that's a great question.
Well, we will wait and see what happens there, but it's going to be a fun game. It starts at 5 o'clock our time tonight, and I'm going to be right in front of that TV set watching Notre Dame play Indiana. It's going to be an interesting college football playoff. Of course, we got plenty of college. We got plenty of football, college and pros, all through, including two NFL games on Christmas Day, so it's all through the weekend. Richie, a nice $7 winner yesterday at Gulfstream, but we still got more Christmas gifts to buy.
Yeah, I got a beautiful ride from Irad Ortiz, and I tell you what, he is really fun to watch. He always puts his horses in the right spot, gives them a chance to win. They all don't win, but that's the case for any jockey. But when you give them a chance, you bet your $2, you get a run for it, and he got it done yesterday. Turfway Park, race number 5, Ralph. It's Tapita, of course, 6 furlongs, and a horse that, if you take a look at the resume as far as surfaces, is the number 10, Hilarious Affair. This horse that was claimed from Marty Drexler had been running at Woodbine over there, Tapita surface, and has run for a couple. Has run for a couple of trainers, but now gets back on the Tapita. The surface is his best surface. So let's go with the 10, Hilarious Affair at Turfway Park.
All right, and that, as you know, is the beginning. This the first race in the late pick 5 with that huge carryover today at Turfway of $138,972. Post time is right around 4:55 Pacific time in the fifth race. Maybe we could start it out with a singleton, number 10, Hilarious Affair, the 10. In the fifth race, tonight's fifth race at Turfway is Rich Ang's play. And all I can say, Richie, is it's just going to be a lot of fun through the next, through the holiday, through Christmas, and then on to New Year's. And then, of course, the playoffs get really hot and heavy, that's for sure. Great time of year to be a sports fan.
Oh, yeah, it's a great time to be in this town, John. John and Ralph, it's great to see you, John, because I tell you what, there's no sports betting in California, but you can fire here.
Yes, the windows are open here. I kind of like it.
Yeah, there is no sports betting per se in California.
Well, we have entertainment purposes only.
Entertainment purposes,
right.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of matchsticks.
There's a lot of barbershops and Chinese restaurants that do it for entertainment purposes.
There we go.
In California. Hey, thanks a lot, Richie. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, guys. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to go right to Jerry Jackowitz. We got all our breaks done, so we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz now. And, Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
All right, so you got your Raiders hat on, and we were just talking a little bit about football here, et cetera.
Oh.
Now, the Raiders, and I'm a Raiders fan too, obviously, we got 2 games left, correct?
Yes.
Two games left. And
Three, actually. Don't we?
Well, we haven't played this week. 3 weeks counting this week.
We got 3 weeks left. If we win all 3 weeks, we haven't accomplished anything as far as the playoffs or anything else. But if we don't actually put our best foot forward and continue to lose, then we got a shot at the number 1 draft pick for a quarterback that we desperately needs. What say you?
Well, the first thing I'll say is this, is that I think the Giants are the real favorite for
all right.
Because they really do look hopeless going forward. The Raiders, they play every week for Antonio Pierce really hard. I mean, these guys it's part of their ethic. And no matter the outcome, you can see the effort. And the defense is actually really a first-rate defense that the Raiders have. This defense for Patrick Graham plays great. You know, they're on the field too much. They don't have his, you know, they're really fighting an uphill battle. It's very clear that that part of the team is a really good nucleus of the team. And so, you know, I think if I don't think they're going to tank. If they lose, they lose. But I don't think they'll tank. I think they'll play their hearts out.
All right.
As for needing a quarterback, I kind of agree. I like Aiden O'Connell. He's just a little bit too slow in the foot for the NFL today. And he's probably going to get banged up a lot in his career if he plays regularly. I think, you know, standing in the pocket and throwing the ball, I think he's certainly good enough.
But the pocket, when the pocket breaks down, he's got to get away.
I have to say this, if I may, yell something to the Raiders organization, stop getting 6-foot quarterbacks as your backups. It's just stupid. It's just mind-blowingly stupid.
All right.
They're like trees. These guys are like forests. And you're putting a little man behind these giant trees.
Yeah.
Can't see what he's doing.
Okay. Well, all I got to say is O'Donnell. I liked O'Donnell when he came up, but he's got to shave a second off of his response and getting rid of the ball because he just gets a sack too many times.
You know, I played a lot of quarterback when I was a kid, and I was a small kid.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the times I was throwing the ball, I had no idea where, you know, I just sort of was guessing where the guys were because I was small, but I could throw the ball. It's not a great idea.
It's better
if they can see the defenders.
No, it isn't. And good thing you decided to get into the handicapping horses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In any case, I got to ask you and John a question that's come up to me, and it's intriguing. To say the least, and we're not going to, this is just a thought going out there, and you guys can think about it a little bit later on. But with all of the artificial intelligence happening in all different kinds of businesses, et cetera, I mean, we're going to be, you know, artificial intelligence is here to stay, et cetera. One wonders if you could use some sort of artificial intelligence to help handicapping either sports and or horses. John?
I've got to think about that. I mean, there's so many variables that come into play,
and the variables change,
you know, hourly.
But there is, and the other aspects of artificial intelligence that's happening, there's a lot of variables too, but it seems like they got it, you know. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, here's what I would tell you. As a player, I was a winning player for them. There's 10 different ways to win at this game.
Right.
And there's just one way to lose, and that's always betting underlays. Like one of my favorite things for myself right now is John comes on with a horse. Let's say it's an 8-horse field, and he picks a horse. And he does this all the time. He's really a great handicapper. And he'll pick a horse that I have rated 6th. I like that. I don't dislike it. I say, oh, John's seeing something I don't see about the horse. It's something imaginative or under the radar that I'm not seeing. If you look at the power page numbers, they're basically giving you a form of artificial intelligence that's hitting on the most recent, most obvious form. And that's the beauty of the power pages, it's exposing to you some of the stuff that you shouldn't be, you should be avoiding. It's telling you what to avoid. It's also with the stars and the V's telling you where you ought to go. But when John comes up with a horse that's rated 5th, 6th, or 7th, I don't go, oh, look at me, how smart I am. He's got it poorly read. I go, oh, look how smart he is. He's found something that's a little under the radar that isn't obvious in current form.
Yeah, you're right there. I know handicapping is a lot discipline and art. Yeah. I know that. But I'm just thinking to myself, with artificial intelligence that is so becoming so prominent in many difficult areas of, you know, areas of business and humanity, really, when you're talking about them using it for science and for, you know, medical uses, et cetera. I got to think that maybe somebody's got to sit out there and say, Let's see if we can figure out maybe if this would work in handicapping. And I'm not only talking about horses, but sports as well.
Well, one thing I'll say, you know, you stay in this business by thinking outside the box and being a little bit of a contrarian. Mm-hmm. And so, like Jerry said, you're trying to find something that may, you know, do the extra work and find the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if AI is going to do that except accentuate what might be the obvious. And if that is the case, then good for us. You know, yeah. So we'll see how it works.
Yeah, we will see how it works. It's very interesting.
Exactly.
It's an interesting a stage of our life that we're going to go through with this stuff. That's for sure.
But well, we're gonna, Ralph,
well, hold on. Well, we got it.
Real quickly.
But we got to go. You got 10 seconds left.
Oh.
But you can.
Well, have a great race day, everybody.
You can certainly tell me this tomorrow. There's not a question about that. In any case, go ahead and say it real quick. Go ahead.
He just did.
Have a great race day.
Thank you.
Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.